You are listening to Powder Radio. Brought to you by Powder Magazine. Welcome to Sponsored. I'm your host, Mike Powell, and this week we have Hadley Hammer on the program. If you're not familiar with Hadley, that means you haven't heard her Nasika cast on Powder Radio. That's another one of the great podcasts we have here on Powder for you. But Hadley's also a skier. You could see her in TGR this year. She shifted from competition to movies, and it was a tough transition for Hadley. We'll find out all about that and what's going to go on with her season this year. So sit back, and we'll come back with Hadley Hammer.
I just got into New Hampshire at like 2 a.m. last night, or this morning.
What are you doing there?
I'm going to do the TGR showing in Portsmouth, and then I'm actually mostly here because I'm running the New York City Marathon on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
And it all just timed up perfectly.
Are you nervous for the marathon?
I mean, I'm not a runner, and I didn't really train for it.
How far is the longest you've run?
I did a race for the North Face, one of their endurance challenges, like trail runs. That was a half marathon.
Oh, you're screwed.
And I beat Johnny Collinson, so I mean, I feel I'm going to do okay.
And he's in great shape and probably a fast runner, so you beat him. But 26.2 miles, no training, or just a half, I would be super nervous if I were you. I would rethink even running the marathon. I don't know if you want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty committed at this point. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I think throwing back a few extra beers during the premiere should help you out with some carbo loading, and you'll be perfect for the marathon.
Yeah. Totally. Film premiere season is really good training.
Yeah. How many stops have you been on with the tour?
I did the Jackson stop and the Salt Lake stop, and then I'll just finish off the New York and Boston ones, and that's it.
Well, I saw the movie, and it is an awesome movie. It's tight, loose, and it's premiering all over the country right now, and you have a great part in it, and it was really cool to see. I know you have a competition history, so it's nice to see that transition into filming, but it's great to see you being totally comfortable in front of the camera, and we'll talk about how that evolved, because I'm sure it took a little time.
Yeah, thank you.
Starting out, you grew up in Jackson Hole. Were you born and raised there?
I was, yep.
And you have a couple brothers, I believe, an older and a younger.
Yeah, I'm the meat of the sandwich between the two.
Nice way to put that. Growing up, was it pretty much you and your brothers as a unit kind of just skiing all over Jackson Hole and you trying to emulate your brothers, or how did that roll?
Yeah, I'm really close with my brothers, and my childhood was just trying to survive.
Yeah.
My parents were pretty loose in how much we could do, and a lot of our childhood was just climbing trees and trying to ski off the roof, and they'd drop us off at the resort and we would just play all day. So it was definitely a very active lifestyle. And my brothers just me trying to emulate whatever they did. Like, they would ski something, I would ski something. They would do something really stupid, I would do something really stupid. So it was a good childhood.
Cool. And your parents kind of let you free range out in Jackson Hole. I'm sure it was like the village builds the family there. Everybody kind of looks after you.
Yeah, exactly. It was, both my parents were working, so they kind of let the mountains take care of us. And the three of us my brothers are super protective of me, despite their efforts of like trying to break all my legs. So they definitely, we always watched over each other.
So did you go to school right in Jackson as well?
I did. Yeah. I spent 1 year going to school in LA, which was kind of crazy. But otherwise I was in high school and middle school and everything in Jackson.
So what made you go to LA for a year? Were you going to be a child superstar?
Movie star? Oh God, no. I'm a bit of a nerd and wanted a little bit more of a push in my education. And some of our family friends lived in LA, and so I lived with them. But that is definitely not a city for me. It was intense.
Well, how old were you?
I was a sophomore in high school, and it was like an all-girls LA Catholic school. Just like mind-blowing.
Yeah, I can see that being total culture shock coming from Jackson Hole. Getting into skiing in Jackson Hole, were you put into a race program or did you just ski the mountain and enjoy that?
Yeah, I did a lot of different things. I actually was a figure skater the longest.
Wow.
Yeah, super funny. I do some axles, some spins. Then I Nordic skied, then did some park skiing. But I never, like, my little brother was on the U.S. ski team and he was definitely like fully into it. It never caught on to me. So it was kind of just like we skied a bunch all the time just growing up there, but I never took it in any sort of serious fashion.
So you weren't in a race program like Max was?
No, not at all.
So you were just enjoying the mountain. And who was the crew that you were skiing with growing up? I know there's a ton of great skiers that come out of Jackson Hole. Anybody of note?
Yeah, like my best girlfriend is Racy Stiegler, who's still on the US ski team. And there's a bunch of snowboard, like Travis Rice is, you remember like skiing with Travis Rice and like Alex Yoder. A lot of the snowboarders were kind of good friends of mine. So it was pretty nuts. It's cool to see how many people are still skiing. And my brothers were by far the most fun to ski with.
I don't know much about your older brother, but I know your younger brother, Max, is a really talented skier on the pro level, skied with TGR. It seemed like he didn't like the spotlight as much, but that's me from a 30,000 foot view looking at him.
No, you're spot on. He was not really into the whole pro scene, and he loves life and he's super happy, and it's just I'm almost just sad for him because I'm so biased, but I think he's the best skier I've ever seen. I've never seen him fall. He's always in balance, super playful, great technique, and you're just like, oh man, I wish the world could see that, but he's happy what he's doing, so all good.
You talk to people that have set him up with product over the years, and they're like, yeah, you know, that guy could do whatever he wants in skiing, but he just wants to do his own thing, and that's totally cool too.
Yeah.
And some people don't like the spotlight.
Yeah.
What kind of person were you in high school? It sounds like you were kind of a book nerd. What else were you?
Oh yeah, I'm pretty nerdy. I feel like I'm a fairly adventurous person, and it was so fun to grow up in Jackson because like the lifestyle that people move there now for, like everything that the 20 and 30 year olds are doing in Jackson, floating the river and playing in the Tetons, is what we did in high school. And maybe there was possibly some underage drinking involved as well, but all of our activities were like camping and hiking, and I love being in the Tetons and climbing and just like kind of up for anything. And we were pretty goofy and adventurous.
Did you play any sports, or was it just skiing and figure skating and all the other things?
I was a volleyball player, which is funny because I'm really short.
Okay.
And then I did a really good job warming the bench in soccer.
How many kids went to a high school in Jackson Hole?
I think our class was a little over 100. We're pretty small.
And you didn't start on the soccer team?
I was not very good at soccer. In soccer, in Wyoming, to be a good soccer player, you essentially had to be a good football player. Like, it wasn't about touch or like how good you were with the ball. It was like, could you take down like the girls from Casper that were like huge and like aggressively tackling you? And that I'm like way too small for that.
Okay. And then you went off to college. You went to what, New Hampshire?
Yeah, University of New Hampshire.
And was that culture shock, leaving Jackson Hole and experiencing a whole new world on the East Coast?
Yeah, totally. I never realized how different each of the sort of quadrants of the U.S. are. And I think like the people aren't as friendly, I would say, or like at first as friendly. I have great friends from here now, but it was a bit of a like in Wyoming, you're used to saying like howdy or hi to everyone on the street. And you definitely couldn't do that here, I didn't think.
That's definitely true. It's a different world. But people are friendly once you get through the thick
totally.
Skin on the outside.
Yeah. And I get the other hard part was I feel like it felt so claustrophobic because in Jackson, like you get up into the mountains and you can see like into Idaho, like everywhere is like huge, wide open spaces and big sky. And here I was like, oh, man, I feel like the sky is like right on top of me and I can just see like the base of trees.
Yeah. And it's almost like, I mean, it's New Hampshire's not as concrete jungle as some other places, but it's a different world from Jackson Hole.
Totally.
And did you enjoy your time in New Hampshire?
I did. I loved it. It definitely took a full year to like settle in, but I'm so glad I experienced something so different. And the mountains are, I mean, man, they can be just as burly as any of the tall mountains in the state in like the West, just because of the weather is nasty here. And it was fun to, I actually didn't really ski that much and ended up climbing and ice climbing and like adventuring out here. So it was a good switch, but it was a challenge at first for sure.
What did you study there?
I studied kind of a lot of things. I studied hospitality with a focus on wine and then kind of nerded out more, a double major in economics and a minor in English and a minor in religious studies.
Whoa.
I really like books.
Whoa.
Don't tell anyone I'm not this nerdy.
No one will find out that you're this nerdy at all. How many bottles of wine do you drink a week?
Ooh, not as much anymore. So I studied and took my SOM test and worked after college for a wine company. And I've definitely let some of that education go to waste, but I do like wine a lot.
Okay, so 2 bottles a week. It's not bad. You're also a gourmet chef. Did you have any training in becoming a chef, or is it all self-taught?
It's all self-taught. My mom, who is an incredible woman, great mother, the least domestic person I've ever seen, like doesn't clean, never cook, never, I've seen her cook now, like five times maybe, but she didn't cook for us. So it was kind of this thing where my brothers and I, if we wanted to eat, we learned really quickly to either find friends, parents who knew how to cook or cook ourselves. So it was mostly just self-taught, but I mean, I love cooking. It's my favorite sort of off activity to do.
On a side note, what do your parents do?
My dad did development things in Jackson, and then my mom did all the translating for the Hispanic kids in Jackson that had learning disabilities or physical disabilities between like the schools and the hospitals and the Hispanic families. She was kind of the in-between person.
Did you grow up rich? It sounds like development in Jackson, it's got to be a lot of money.
No, I don't think so. Or like putting three kids through skiing and life in Jackson. I mean, we're comfortable, but I wouldn't say we're rich.
Fair enough. Did they pay for your college?
They did. It was like, we'll pay for your college. And then after that, we're completely on our own.
That's awesome.
And we all had to work since we were like, I had my first job when I was 8.
What did you do when you were 8?
I worked at a resort on the maintenance crew, which for an 8-year-old girl is like not really acceptable. I heard a lot of stories that I probably shouldn't have, but I built some fences and trimmed some sagebrush and
yeah, it's got to give the resort goer some confidence knowing that their maintenance person is an 8-year-old.
Yeah. It was entertaining for sure. And my little brother, like, we called him the golden child. He scored. Like, my older brother and I got put on the maintenance crew, and my little brother got put with the, like, dude ranch horses and just gave, like, horseback rides all day. And we were like, what the? Like, you scored. Like, we're cleaning the pool, and you're just riding a horse all day.
You finished college. You get your degree. Did you go back to Jackson first or go jump right into the work world?
No, the week after I graduated, I went straight to Washington, D.C. and worked in the Four Seasons there.
Ugh.
Yeah, dude, it was brutal. And they were redoing the whole hotel. And so I was in the front desk, and my job essentially was just to field complaints from people that were listening to the jackhammer that was going from like 7 to 7 every day that you could hear everywhere. I think my highlight was when LL Cool J yelled at me. Felt pretty good.
That is awesome. Were you like, I'm going to knock you out?
Yeah, I was, or like, he's going to knock me out if I don't give him a free room.
Well, that's cool. LL Cool J, I actually grew up in that area, so I know how miserable people can be over there.
Yeah.
Especially the rich people going to the Four Seasons.
Totally. It's so interesting how I feel like how people treat, it's so cheesy, but like how people treat like the front desk person and the like waitress is such a defining way to judge their character. Because some people were super rad, like one of the basketball players that stayed there all the time, like would come in and bring us all like Nike shoes and like thank us for being there. And then other people were so just like terrible.
Yeah, I mean, they think everybody's there to serve them and that other people don't have feelings, too. It kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm sure you see that a lot in Jackson Hole, too, because I'm sure that exact type of person goes to Jackson Hole for a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, thinks they're the shit.
Exactly. I mean, I love the hospitality world, and it's still, like, definitely a part of me and something I want to go back to because I like the, like, joy you get out of giving people, like, a nice place to stay and some warm food. But it sucks that the, like, 70% of it is mostly just getting, like, the shit storm of complaints. And you're like, oh, man, I don't know. Like, life's, if you're on vacation and, like, these are problems, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for being nice. And I think you always get better service by being nice, even when you're angry. And
yeah.
Some people just don't get that.
No.
So you worked in D.C. and then you probably hated your life there and decided to get back into the mountains.
Yeah, exactly. D.C. was not for me, and I lasted for about 2 years and then went home, and actually not to ski, just went home to have a different job in hotels and was working for one of the high-end hotels in Jackson, and then started training at Mountain Athlete because my little brother was still on the U.S. ski team and training there. And he was like, man, you've been in a city. I'm sure you're wildly out of shape. Like, just come work out with me here. And that same gym, like Griffin Post and Crystal Wright and Jess McMillan were all working out at. And it was kind of like I got shoved in with them.
Okay.
And then Crystal was like, oh, you should try a comp. Like, you used to ski, like, just give it a shot. And so I did. It was kind of a funny snowball effect.
What was the first comp that you entered from there? I mean, I'm sure you skied with everybody for a little bit before you actually entered a comp. But what comp was it and how did you do?
I actually, the first comp I did was in South America in not Las Leñas, one of the, oh my God, that small like cat skiing place. It's the one like in the mountains where it's the dad and the son running, I think. My brain is so fried.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was there. So I actually like hadn't even had like a winter season before that. And just I couldn't keep my job and go to this comp. So I just like quit my job and I was like, all right, I'm going to just try this and then I'll find another job. I did so poorly. I was not a good skier. It was kind of hilarious.
You don't have pro ski aspirations at that point. You're just entering a comp, right?
Yeah, I just like wanted to try something new and wanted to see what it was like at these competitions. And it was like a good excuse to travel and just kind of go for something way out of my comfort zone.
How long are you in Chile for in that summer?
I stayed like 2 weeks or something there. Just like met everyone. It was such a, it's cool to see like the tribe of people that were competing and for sure really intimidating. Like you have like, that was the year that like Ingrid and Angel were there and you're just like, whoa, this is like, okay. Like, wow, this is full on. But it was really cool. It definitely, I was hooked like right away.
And so do you ski a couple weeks that summer and then do you get back to Jackson and you're like, I'm going to start skiing a little bit more seriously just to be in shape for these contests?
Yeah, I'm pretty stubborn and I think I saw the light there and was like, this is something that's so different from what I've been doing. Like I've always been stimulated with more of like the education side of things and less the physical side. And I was so bad at it and so out of shape that it was a really cool challenge to have something that I was fully in control. I just had to figure out how my body was going to work and get in shape and learn how to ski better. And so I like kind of dove head first and I go out every single day that the beginning of that ski season and train super hard and like try to learn how to hit airs and ski as fast as I could. And I ended up actually breaking my back like right away, like mid-December of that year after my first comp. So then didn't do a comp that whole year and just recovered and didn't ski. It was kind of a weird like setback right away.
So you quit your job, you go to South America, you do terrible in a contest, you come back home, you realize you're going to dedicate yourself to this, you go break your back, you don't ski for the rest of the year, and then how does it progress?
Then I was like even more like my stubbornness is a little intense and I was like even more fired up because I knew how much I wanted to like take the challenge head on. Mm-hmm. And so then I trained again really hard and started doing comps and just started to figure it out. I was again like another year of like doing okay, but I actually like had some lessons from some people in Jackson. Like I wasn't even flexing the front of my boot. Like I'm pretty sure my shin wasn't even touching the front of my boot that first year. And so it was really fun to like go out with people that and because I've never had like the technical skills or the technical background. And so I just had people teach me that. It was a full year of like really spending a lot of time on like the actual technique of skiing. And it was cool to see like the first few comps I did so bad. And I think the last comp of the year I got third. So like I think the improvements came. It was quite the grind.
And this is pre-Freeride World Tour, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. This was just like the American like qualifying comps. I won like not great year. And then the next year I did pretty well in a bunch of comps and just felt like it finally clicked and like I got it and kind of found the style that I really like to ski in. And then I qualified that next year.
Okay. And do sponsors for you come around at that point as well?
Yeah. I ended up doing a photo shoot with Marmot through a friend, Brenton Reagan, who is a guide and climber at
Exum,
Mountain
right?
Athlete. Yeah. Exum guide. He hooked me up with, he was with Marmot and he's like, we're doing a photo shoot. I want to put you in there and like, we'll see if something comes out of it. So that was pretty rad. And then Max was skiing for Line Skis and he introduced me to Josh and that kind of came out. So I got those two that year, which was really rad.
Nice. And that's interesting because Line usually doesn't have too many people on the Freeride World Tour.
No.
So that's a cool place for them to be and have a great athlete and yourself on their program and that kind of built. And I know you've been a part of the Line team shoots, which seem like they're really fun to be a part of. Are there any experiences with Line that you can share that were pretty fun and different than most people experience?
Yeah, I love them. Like, you know, like I know there's a cap on how much money I could ever make with them or like I'm not like women's powder skis is such a small part of their market. We do a team shoot every year. We did one this year up in Snoqualmie. And so it's like usually me and Andrew Whiteford, we were the only like non-park skiers. And it was so fun because we just shredded the resort with all of the park guys like Will Wesson and all these French guys. And it's cool to see people, I mean, in Jackson, it's mostly just big mountain skiers.
Yep.
And we're not exposed to the park riders that much. And it was so fun to see them turn Snoqualmie into like their own terrain park, just like natural terrain park, and hit jumps and like create trannies out of like nothing. And it was pretty wild. And it's a like funny, loose group of people for sure that just like love skiing.
It is more funner, in their own words.
Mm-hmm.
You did the Marmot thing for a couple of years, but you are on North Face now. And I think that's been an amazing partnership for you to be with in terms of them supporting your skiing. And what kind of things have North Face done for you that's just allowed you to do things that are different?
Yeah, I signed with the North Face, left Marmot. It was actually a really hard decision because I'm kind of partial to that like small team feeling. I was a little nervous to jump into this like giant corporation.
Marmot's a giant corporation as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're giant, but they felt small.
Okay.
Like there was so few of us on the team that it felt pretty small, and I like could call like the VP of marketing like anytime I wanted, where at the North Face that feels a little more intimidating.
Yep.
But it's incredible. Like I was just at the Athlete Summit last week in Moab, and they bring all of the like global top athletes. I think there were 70 of us, and you're sitting in these tents looking around, and you have like Conrad Anker and Sage and Jimmy Chin and all these like the top athletes of climbing and running and skiing, and took us through like Wim Hof came and gave us all these crazy like breathing exercises and ice baths, and they give you nutrition help and social media help, and it just like they kind of help you shape yourself as an athlete outside of just doing your sport, which I feel like in today's world is super important. And for me, the hardest part, like the skiing's the easy part, and then doing everything else is the hard part. So I think North Face has been so cool to work with because they help you kind of round yourself out as a professional athlete.
They've been doing some great things. I think they had a TV ad at the Super Bowl a couple of years that showcased climbing, and it was just one of those commercials that it was a total cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, this doesn't belong in the Super Bowl, but it is the best commercial of the event.
Totally. When I was at that line shoot, they called me, and unfortunately Tatum Minode had gotten hurt, and she was supposed to go on this trip to ski the corrugated line, and she couldn't go, and they were like, can you be in Alaska in 2 days? And I was like, for sure, like I would love to. And got to go to Alaska on this like epic expedition with Sam Ottmotten and Ralph Backstrom, and like ski my first spine. And if I didn't have a ship with the North Face, I would have never been in that position. It was really cool and scary.
Back to the Free Ride World Tour. So you qualify for that. And in my experience in working with athletes who are on the Free Ride World Tour, it seemed to me that you would fly into a place, you would be put on a weather hold for 5 days, and then the weather wouldn't get better, but they realized that there was a lot of money invested and we needed to get this contest going. And then they would put you guys out on the hill on one of the worst days. And it really made scoping your line and seeing how hard you're going to step on the gas was really dictated by the conditions there. And what was the Free Ride World Tour like for you?
Yeah, it was wild. I loved it. It has such a special place in my heart, and I mostly just for the people. But the conditions always sucked. And it was so funny, when I first started competing, I'd watch old footage of comps, and you'd watch the lines and just be like, I don't know, it didn't seem that rad or that hard. They don't translate very well, the backstory of what you just explained. Like the conditions are usually terrible. Like you've been sitting around for so long and there's like high stress. I've skied the worst snow I've ever skied in my life on comp days. You're just like, this is horrible. But I like also for some reason loved it, which I don't know, maybe there's something screw loose or two, but it was cool. It was a huge transition though, because in the state most of the competitions are like a physical inspection, so you're getting on the slope and like can look at your takeoff. Going to Europe, it's all visual, and so you're on a ridge across from the venue with just a spotting scope trying to figure out your line. And I feel like in Europe, the scale is hard to figure out because there's less trees. So in the States, I could see a 10-foot air and like be able to know that it's a 10-foot air. And there I was like, man, is that like 20 feet or like 60 feet? I don't really know. So it was wild. I learned so much so quickly.
with those contests, did you feel that holding back a little would actually let people move forward in the results? From what I've seen, if you tried to just step on the gas and send it, if you don't stick your line, you're screwed. And if you're a little safe, you do a little bit better.
Yeah, that's where I have a little bit of a hard time with the competitions. And actually, Rachel Burks and I just talked about this the other day, because she and I took kind of the same strategy where, for me, I felt like if I did bad, obviously my sponsors probably wouldn't be that stoked, but it was kind of just like only on me. And I loved that it provided this space of like, I looked at them as an opportunity to find where my limits were. And so I was kind of a full throttle, like, I'm either going to win by 10 points or lose, which is what happened every time. But it was hard, especially in the female side. There's so few of us that if you were just smart and played the odds, taking a safer line and making it down, like, you're probably going to do pretty well, or at least stay on the tour for a while. Maybe you're not getting first place by not pushing it, but you're at least like requalifying every time. It kind of irked me, and I don't like blame anyone, because it's smart. Like, you're going to stay on the tour, you're not going to keep getting paid. Like, the numbers look good, but it was definitely the formatting, I think, isn't totally correct for like pushing the sport, at least on the female side. I think the guys, there's enough numbers and enough talent where you had to push it. But like, you watch like Sam Smoothie's line in Andorra, like, that was incredibly risky, but he went for it. Whereas I feel like you don't see that much on like the lady side of it. And I think more so, not because the girls can't do it, because they were all such good skiers. I think it was more with like how you could play the tactics.
Yeah, there's definitely a strategy, I think, to going into a contest. But I like the strategy that you have of send it. And you know what? If everything works out, people are going to know what's up. And if not, it's just another run over there that might have made the podium. But I think your style is the way to go. And that's what sponsors want to see.
Totally ate it on the first air, and then did the second air and got last place or whatever, but ended up picking like three sponsors up from that run alone. So it was kind of this funny, like, shoot, I'm not doing that well, but I'm also kind of doing well.
Yeah, because you just want to see someone with no fear, who's willing to send it, who has confidence in their skiing. And everybody knows from the sponsor side what those contests are. It's going to be bad conditions. It's going to be a whole lot of variables in there that really aren't going to reflect exactly the skier you are. But then you transitioned out of competing into the film world, which creates a whole nother set of obstacles, and skiing in front of a camera is not that easy. A lot of hurry up and wait. And what was that transition like for you?
It was really, if I'm honest, it was really, really hard for me. I think last year was actually the hardest year I've had so far in my like professional career. And I think it was the same thing, like, you have to figure out how to film, and I'm kind of a workhorse, and I think it's a good in some instances, but bad in others. And this year it was just like, oh my God, I have the opportunity to film with TGR. Like, this is crazy. I'm going to film as much as I can. And the segment was in Jackson, so it was really easy to say like, yes, let's film every single day.
Yep.
And Angel came in at one point, and she was like, holy cow, you need to take a break. Like, you're taking one run a day. I like kind of lost that like flow feeling that you have from skiing.
Yeah.
And I crashed really hard a few times. And she was like, you're just grinding and it's not productive. It was rad to have her around, because she was like, you know, I learned my first year too. Like, you have to know when to take a break, and then know when to like push it, and know when like you need to free ski so you can like feel really confident. And I definitely didn't do that this year. At all. It was really tough. By the end of the season, I was so worked. But it was hard because I just was like, oh my God, I have this opportunity and I like want to maximize it and let anyone down. But it was a huge learning experience.
Well, I feel like you pass the first test when you go see the premiere and you're in the movie. That's a big thing right there. You didn't get cut out.
Yeah. I was nervous that I was going to for a while. Just like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how I never felt like I skied how I like usually do. But I'm fired up for next winter now that I kind of have a better handle on it all.
Well, I'll say I went to the premiere in Seattle, and I've been to a lot of premieres this year, and that was by far the best one, the movie people went crazy for. I was standing next to a guy, and when your part came up, the guy's like, ah, that Angel Collinson's just awesome. And I was pretty excited just to hear that, just to look at him and be like, that's actually not Angel. That's a Hadley Hammer. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty funny. We had the exact same outfit the whole year, like same ski boots, same pants, same backpack. Like, when I was filming solo, when Angel wasn't in town, a few different times people would call me Angel. They'd be like, Angel, like, come to the bar, I'll buy you drinks all night. And I'd be like, can I still come even if I'm not Angel? Like,
I have a cool name too. It's just not Angel.
But yeah, it was rad. And I was so stoked to have her. Like, she taught me so much. And she's I think we like have such different styles. Like, she's really good at the technical. And I love taking big airs. And it was like really cool the days where we'd like kind of flip flop and she would send it. And then I would like work on like billy goating more. I feel like we play off of each other really well.
I saw something else that you guys did together where you guys did have the same style and it wasn't really good. Was you guys went to Wendell's and filmed with the Step Guys.
Oh my God. It was so, I wish there was a behind this. I mean, I guess the whole thing was a behind the scenes, but you're at Wendell's and like, there was like three Olympic national teams training and you have like Tom Walsh and like Torin and like all these guys doing crazy tricks. And then you had Nick Martini and like the Step Guys following us around with these like huge red cameras and pointing at us. And it's like we would go over and like be like, look at my grab, and like this guy next to you is doing like a triple cork whatever, and like the camera's not at him, and you're like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
Embarrassing, but every one of those guys knows what you guys are capable of in a different venue. It's just really cool to see you guys even want to do that. I mean, did you go as a camper?
Yeah. Well, so that was our second summer that Angel and I had went, and my third summer, which is like kind of depressing that I still suck this bad, but we were campers. We didn't camp at Wendell's. We camped in this like secret spot up on the mountain, which was super nice. So we had some like adult time where we weren't with all the campers all the time. But yeah, we were like full on campers with a coach and just getting worked. And I don't know, I love skiing so much because there's so, like, with that, like, you're exposed to how much there is to learn. And with the trip that I went with the North Face and the Sherpas guys and the ski mountaineering aspect was another like eye-opening, like, okay, I feel like I'm getting more comfortable with like the downhill skiing compared to like 5 years ago when I wasn't even flexing my boot. But now here's like another like whole world of things that I want to improve on. And it's like just feels like endless to me.
And will we see you on a trip with Nick Martini and Clayton Vila doing some urban later this year?
Totally. Yeah. Maybe I'll be like their rope toe.
Winch.
I mean, those guys are crazy. Like, oh, Will Wesson like was there and he would slide these rails and you're like, that looks so easy. And then you get up and like, you saw it. We just ate it so like over and over and over again. And you're like, how the, like, I know I can ski, but this just seems so hard.
Yeah. What he's doing is it's like a totally different world. Balance and control that he has is pretty phenomenal. And it's just his imagination makes those traveling circus videos. Him and Andy both.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're so funny. It was just so funny that video came out and I was like, oh God, I hope Josh doesn't drop me because like clearly I don't fit the like line brand here.
I think there's a level of respect saying going into something that you know you don't do well and wanting to learn and then going with some of the best in the world. It makes it even harder, but you have a lot of good coaching.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like Tom Walsh was like teaching me like giving me tips on my 360s and you're like, this is so funny.
But then you could take him to Alaska.
Yeah.
And he would probably be just as appreciative of all the information you could give him. So did you get to smell the traveling circus van?
Oh, yeah. That thing is nasty. I've spent a few days in it and was like, oh, you guys are, how do you live in here? Like the ceiling is falling down. Like, oh, it's pretty gross.
Those guys have parlayed that into a really cool thing they're doing with traveling circus. And I'm glad you got to smell the van. One thing I do want to talk about, and it probably doesn't really apply to the traveling circus guys in general, but is there a gender pay gap in skiing, or is there anything different between the way the genders are treated?
Yes, this has been a conversation I've been having a lot lately with people. In a way, and I don't want to sound like too controversial, and I like my true belief, especially with how I was raised, like I have brothers. It was never pointed out to me that I was a girl. Like, I'm really like to take the idea that like we're all just humans just going for it. But if we're like diving into that conversation, for me, I actually think it's way easier to be a female in action sports. For me to portray male characteristics, like if I huck, like people are like, oh man, that's so rad. Like you're hucking huge or like skiing fast. Where like I can't imagine what in society, what it would be like to be a male figure skater. Like you're portraying really feministic characteristics. Hmm. And that seems like it'd be way harder. So for me, I just like, I've never felt that I've lost anything because I'm a girl. If anything, I think it's easier for me because I'm a girl. And that's just I guess I can only speak to like my own experience.
And I would say, and I can argue it as a guy, so it doesn't really matter what I say, but I still will. maybe there's less competition in terms of the numbers, maybe fighting for sponsors. Mm-hmm. At the same time, when you get those sponsors and you're at the highest level, I don't think it's apples to apples, men to women in terms of anything.
Yeah.
So I think there is a pay gap. But like you said, I think it might be easier to get sponsored, starting being a female, getting sponsored. But to move to the highest level and to make a career, it's much harder to do that once you get into the machine.
Totally. And I think like the reality is with skiing, and this was another thing I was just having a conversation about, is at the end of the day, it just kind of requires a lot of money. Like to become the best, you need that money to go to a place like Alaska where you can really see where your skills are at on like the hardest mountains. And that takes time and money. And like, no matter how good you are at like skiing Jackson or Alta, until you have the opportunity to go someplace else and really like push your skiing, I think you can't become the greatest. And so I think a lot of the top skiers are kind of a result of having the opportunity to have sponsors that will pitch in to that. And so I think that's where girls are kind of taking the shaft of like, okay, I want to like improve and I've competed for a while and filmed for a while and I want to like get on a big mountain, but I don't have like 40 grand of travel budget to do that. And so I think that's where girls get less, because obviously it's way easier to send someone like Sage or Ian like to Alaska for a while than like gamble on sending like a girl who needs like a year to figure it out first.
Yeah. And what do you think about, I guess TGRs has more than just a token female. It seems like when you look at movies over the years, it's always like that token woman, and it's changing a little bit. But what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, part of it is that when you really think about it, there's not that many girls out there. Like there's like maybe 10 at the top of their level that could really film and like really crush it. And I guess I just want to, my bigger concern is like, where are all the girls that are like coming up? That's what makes me like a little nervous about the scene. And maybe it's because there's so many different avenues, like you can go the social media route or like the photo route and not have to like really be at the top level. Because I don't think they should just put girls in just to like put a girl in, because if they're not skiing as hard as the guys, then it almost makes us look worse.
For sure.
But just think there's not the numbers that there are on the male side, which sucks, because I think, you know, like I watch like Angel and Ingrid and Tatum ski, and I like, it's so inspiring and it pushes me so much. And there just needs to be more. Like if there's more competition between all of us, I think we'd all do a lot better.
Yeah, I think watching them ski, watching yourself ski, the beauty of it is that if you don't see their head or you don't see long hair coming out of a helmet, you don't know it's a girl or a guy. It's just a badass skier. And I think that's the coolest part about it.
Yeah, I got called. There's this kid that used to film with TGR, Daniel TC, who's in high school. And the whole year when we were filming around the resort, people would be like, yeah, Daniel, send it. And I was like, oh man, not only are they calling me a boy, they're calling me like a 15-year-old boy. Like, oh, shoot.
And then I think if you look at that Pretty Faces movie, and then even in snowboarding, they have Full Moon right now. Mm-hmm. Both those movies showcase the best of skiing and snowboarding. And I don't even want to put a gender in it, because if you don't see faces, you don't realize that it's women.
Yeah.
It looks like skiers and snowboarders, and that's what it should be.
Totally. I think that's the thing. It's like, that's what it should. Like, I actually do have a really hard time with like the, and I've been on these trips that are pitched of like, it's just an all girls trip and that's the story. And for me, I'm like, that's not a story. Like, I actually want a boy to do like a, make fun of us and like do like an all boys film. Cause you're kind of like, it's not a story. It's just a bunch of girls. Like, where's the story?
That would be funny if they clowned a film like that, but I don't think totally that will happen anytime soon.
I don't think so either.
So what do you have on tap for the season?
I'm going to film with TGR again. And for me, now that I feel like I have that experience, the first year experience, I'm just like so focused on creating a really good segment and being a little bit more loose about the whole thing, instead of like grinding and working through everything so hard, just like being more like flowy and like...
So less tight, more loose.
Yeah, more. I think I need to be, it's pretty easy for me to be like tight and focused and like work hard. And so I think I want to be a little more loose. So maybe I'm in good company with TGR.
I think you're with the right people. Are they going to let you leave your home this year?
I hope so. Yeah, that's my goal. It's so hard to film in Jackson. Like every day was a struggle. You have maybe about a 10-minute head start on like the normal Jackson crowd, which is filled with rippers,
right?
And so to like get to a line first and like have time for the filmers to set up was, it was really complicated. The logistics were really intense this year. And so it'd be really nice to go someplace else and just like be able to focus on skiing instead of like focusing on like trying to like make sure no one's going to like come in and like would have people and you'd be on top of a line that you're nervous about anyways. And then you'd be like, Jesus, are you going to go? Like, hurry up. And you're like, give me a second. So yeah, hopefully leaving Jackson. I mean, I love skiing there, but it'd be, I'm psyched to go on some trips and really like, I don't know. I'm so excited to ski.
And one thing I didn't bring up, which I need to, is you also have a podcast on powder. I have problems pronouncing it every time I try to. Nausicaa podcast?
Yeah, Nausicaa cast. I actually wanted to call it Stick and Ballless originally, but people thought that was a little aggressive. But yeah, Nausicaa cast, it came, my nerdiness, like I really like the slow format that is podcasting. And like, you know, you do all these interviews and the magazine will come out and everything's like pulled out of context. And I never felt fully satisfied with how I felt or sounded or how other people did. And I love how podcasting, you just get to like listen to the person and you can really get the personalities. It's been a really, it's a challenge in, as you know,
yeah,
and editing, but it's been so fun. I really like it. And so I'll do one a month for the winter with powder.
And who's next?
I just wrapped up one with Rachel Burks.
Ooh, that should be fun. She is bubbling with personality and is one of the most fun people you could ever meet.
Yeah, the whole podcast is just me laughing. Like, I'd ask a quick question and just ramble, and I would just giggle the whole time. So hopefully people like it because it's pretty, yeah, she is the best. I love her so much.
She is a piece of work. I don't think I've ever met anyone like her.
No, and like so underrated. Like, her skiing, like, is awesome. And
she's a hell of a hairdresser too. I don't know if you knew that.
Totally. And she's also a nerd. Like, we went on a trip this year and we just talked about like our favorite like Russian literature and stuff. So it's like this secret side of Burks that no one, I was like, wait, you read? Like, you're super smart.
Yeah, I didn't know she knew how to read. I thought she just could read the side of a beer can.
Totally. No, she's a closeted nerd.
Well, that's awesome, and we will look forward to that. And I want to thank you for being on the podcast, and we'll have more with you on Inappropriate Questions, but thanks for joining us here on Sponsored.
Thank you, Mike.
So that was time with Hadley Hammer, and we will have more Hadley Hammer over on the PowellMovement.com. You can hear her Inappropriate Questions, where Greg Stump comes up with three questions for Hadley. Then Hadley will come up with three questions for next week's guest, Mike Douglas, the Godfather. So learned a lot about Hadley. Thought it was really cool that she had no pro aspirations growing up. She just followed her brothers around Jackson Hole, and eventually everything fell into place for her. We'll look out for her filming in TGR. And want to thank everybody for listening. Have a great week. The snow is falling. The season is here.